Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Gimel, and we are holding on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and we are in the middle of the sugya that defines what point we're able to write an Adar Chata, which is a seizure notice, what point we're able to put somebody actually into Cherem, what point we're able to write a Pticha, which is a Shtar of Cherem, how much time we give a person to bring Raya's, and the type of issues that have to do with summonses, testimony, and so on, which is brought here, Agav, the sugya that we spoke about in terms of collection from a Katan and an inherited Gezel. So meanwhile, we got into the Shaila of whether it's possible under any circumstances to have a Din where there is no Baal Din, which is essentially what a Katan boils down to. Anyway, so in the middle of the sugya, we're still on Kuf Yud Beit, Amud Beit, and we are learning Baba Kama. It's the 10th parent, a lovely day, and we're happy to be alive, and we're moving right on over here. So, we got up to yesterday, Omer Ravina. And this would be four lines. Omer Ravina. We've been talking about, last thing we learned yesterday was sending a representative of the court to issue a summons. Now, the question is, the sergeant comes back and claims that the person, whatever, refused to show up, that he delivered the summons. And can the court trust that statement as if it were actually new? Or are they going to have two people with two witnesses and so on? It says, Ravina, the halacha is that a shluchat rabbonim, which is what we call the person who's issuing the summonses, or has been sent by the rabbonim in the court, me'emninan like a beitre. He has the ne'emanut as if he's two witnesses. Because since there's the ema of the Beit Din on him, we know that he's not going to lie. And this is only, he's believed in terms of putting somebody into nidui. Avalipticha, when it comes, however, to actually writing out the shtar of the pticha. The problem is, once we write that shtar, then the person that is going to try to get out of the cheren, the nidui, by responding to the court, he's now in trouble because he's going to have to cover court costs, which included the writing of this shtar that says that he's in nidui, the publications, the newspapers, and so on. All of that's going to be sent to him as a bill. We do not take money away from people based on somebody that we trust. I mean, then we would need to actually aid him. So when it comes to a pticha, given the mamonaka mechasele, since it's going to cost the defendant here money, the kaboy lelemeta lazuzi lasafra, lo. Since we will have to pay for court costs, we're going to have absolute proof that the person is supposed to pay those costs. Omravina yavina zimna apuma de itita vapuma de shivavi. What else is true is that we will send a summons at times, even with a woman. Normally we don't involve in trusting in the din, and even with a neighbor who's not an official member of the court, but lo amran adadalete bimata. The only time we do this is when somebody is not in town, and we tell the neighbors, all right, look, we have no idea when this guy's coming back into town. We're going to give you the summons. The moment that he shows his face, you give him the summons from the court. So then it's more effective to do it this way. Avalite bimata, lo. Over there, once, if the person is in town, so then, oh, thank you. If the person is in town, we will not be semech there, even if we gave it to the neighbor, because we'll say the neighbor probably figured, since the guy was in town, he must have the amrina neymer lo amrle. We think that they didn't tell him because they figured since the guy had come into town, ashkechina shlicha lebeit din. Ah, then already, it's not very pleasant for a neighbor to go in and give the guy a summons. I know that he was downtown today, so probably the Beit Din got hold of him and sent the sergeant after him. So over there, we don't rely on the delivery. Furthermore, we will never say in a case, if this guy had actually been away, but had come by the door of the Beit Din, or as he walked down Main Street, in order to get into his area, they're too low, because if they're too armeh, people will say that, well, probably they found him even while he was passing by the army line. Furthermore, we will only rely on this where the guy is due back today. He's not going to come back within the next 24 hours. We can't rely on somebody remembering that as soon as he gets back, give it to him. So over there, lo, because so we cannot act on a person's not showing up in court, assuming that he received the summons, where we have any reason to think that he didn't receive that summons. If a person, we already went and wrote the contract, putting the guy into nidui, because he didn't show up to the court, ad'ati ladina lamakarina lein. If he doesn't show up to court, we don't rip up that contract, even though he promises that he's showing up the next session. Until now, he's been very negative. The promise is not enough. If we wrote it out, adalot sayet l'dina, because he refused to execute what it was that the court said he had to do, then we wait, adit sayet lo makarina le. We will not rip it up. But that's not the halacha. V'lohi. Kivan, the omar tzaitana karina le. The moment the guy says, I am going to do what I was told to do, we will rip it up. But, as some Rishonim say, the first one, since it's in his hands to do now, show up to court. That was to say, I'm going to immediately start selling property and pay back the $100,000 that you were mechayev me. We don't expect him to be able to do that on the turn of a dime. So then, Enochinami will give him time and will take him out of the nidui now, assuming best intentions. But something where there's nothing between his best intentions and doing what he's got to do, for that we wait to see what he does. Omer Chista, Kovim Zman Sheni V'Chamishi V'Sheni Zimna V'Zimna Batar Zimna. We will be Kovea a time for court appearance starting on a Monday. If the guy doesn't show up on Monday, we give him warning that he's got to show up on Thursday. Doesn't show up on Thursday, once again, each time it's as if he's given new warnings to know that he's going to be in trouble if he doesn't show up, and in the end he's going to be issued a shtar in which everybody's going to know that he's not Sayyid Ladina, and he's going to be in big trouble. So we give him this opportunity three times, so that's Sheni Chamishi V'Sheni, and at that point, then, L'machar Katvina, the day after, when he doesn't show up on the next Monday, we will send out the newspaper notification. Ravasi Ikla Be Rav Kahana. Ravasi was once came into the Bezdin Rav Kahana, Chosa Yitita, Dezamla Ladina Vapanya, Ubet Safra Kativ Lapticha. He saw in court a woman that had been summoned to court the night before and didn't show up in the morning, and they were already writing out the Pticha without giving her any time at all. On Marlo, so he says to Rav Kahana, I thought, Mosavala Marlo, Diom Rav Chista. I mean, I thought it was a principle that Kovim Zman, Shady Vachamishi Vashady, and here you're acting very precipitously. The only reason we give 3 days is not because we just allow people to be lax. We give 3 days because men who are generally in business take trips and so on. I mean, we can't expect magic because we invited him from to be able to be there the next morning. But a woman who is in her home, if she doesn't show up, she's a straight out moredet in the Beit Din. A moredet we respond to immediately, as we said yesterday about the men. The poskim say, obviously, there's nothing to do with the sex of the defendant. It has to do with the norms. If we know that the woman is a traveling businesswoman, it's the same halacha. If we know that the man is a batlan and is sitting in town, it's also the same halacha as the woman. It's just giving us the general guidelines. Omer of Yehuda, in general, we will not summon people to court during Nisan or during Tishrei, nor on an Erev Yontav, nor on an Erev Shabbat. Now, why we won't summon the court during Nisan and Tishrei is a machloket rishonim. And Rashi learns it's because they're busy in the agricultural needs of Nisan and Tishrei. So they're either harvesting grapes or whatever the season is. So they're either the harvest of the wheat, the harvest of the grapes. The Rambam learns that it has to do with the Yontif. Obviously, there's serious differences between those approaches because, I mean, according to the Rambam, we would be Mazmin after Yontif during Nisan or after Yontif during Tishrei. According to Rashi, we would be Mazmin at times when Jews are not allowed to be Oisik in agricultural things because there's nothing different about Nisan and Tishrei. Erev Shabbos and Erev Yontif, of course, is clearly because of the Oisik and the Chag. But we will send out a summons for Nisan, for the period immediately after Nisan, Labatar Nisan, that yes. So we can say, come during Iyar, according to Rashi, or come after Yontav, according to Rambam. And we will do the same thing now for Tishrei. Biyom Tishrei Labatar, Tishrei Kavina. But on an Erev Shabbos, we will not send a summons for appearance in court on the next court day, because over there, lo kavina. My time ba'avita de Shabbat tirtorit. It's as you well know, I'm sure, in your own home, when a letter arrives Erev Shabbos, and then your wife remembers sometime during the course of the next month, oh, by the way, you got a registered mail, and can I see it? It was Erev Shabbos, I put it away, but I put it away somewhere safe. So you might find it by next Pesach, you might not. But it's certainly, the court cannot assume that you got a letter that was sent to your registered mail on an Erev Shabbos. Omrim Nachman lo yavina zamna lo livnei kala bekala lo livnei rigla berigla. We will not call to court, issue a summons for the people that have coming to hear the drosha of the kala. So we don't tell him, okay, good thing I met you over here at the Rav's drosha. We have a little summons for you because that's the last time the guy's going to show up at the Rav's drosha. And we certainly don't want to do anything to discourage people from coming to Rosh Hashanah, nor for people that are coming to hear the Rigla. The Rigla was 30 days before the Yontif, when they were giving over the drushas of the Hilchas HaChag. That's the Vayedaber Moshe's Moadei Hashem, is a reference to Shloshim Yom Kodem LeChag. So there too, it's all we need is for people that know that we take advantage of their showing up to learn to get them court summonses. So therefore, we do not take advantage of such periods. Gavi Otto Lekami Reb Nachman, Omar Lechu, when they would come in front of a plaintiff, would come in front of Reb Nachman during this period and ask for a summons to be issued, Amar Lahu, he would say to them, tell me, you think that we got all these people together so that we'd be able to issue them a summons for you? That was not the purpose. The Ikaramoi Chashina. Nowadays, where people are actually, they take advantage of doing their business, and they'll come during this period, they have absolutely no interest in the, or others learn that people that are never able to be found except during this period. Okay, so again, you have to use your judgment, obviously. The words of the Mishnah, the closing words, you'll remember we already had this very important machlokas. Does this mean we're talking about gzeila kayemet? And yesh bo achrayut means that the children, the heirs, have responsibility to clear their father's name, who had done tshuva but hadn't had an opportunity to return the items before he died. Or does the achrayut before avirta achrayut nechasim, the way Rav Hoshaya learned in the Braita, and the Mishnah was not talking about gzeila kayemet. So Rebbe, if you will recall, when he taught this Mishnah, Matnila Rebbe, the Rebbe Shimon Berei, when it says in the Mishnah, it does not mean davar sheish b'achrayut mamash. I'm referring to real estate, which is usually the way we use that word, achrayut. Ela afilu parav v'choreish ba chamoru mechamer acharav, something which people will see it, can identify, and say, looky, looky, there is the stolen parah that these heirs got the benefit of it. So that's going to be a constant reminder to people of the ganav that they had for a father. So there you're chayavim lachzir, but this is a din, not in Hashavas Gezela, but rather, the chayavim lachzir b'pnei kvod avihen, which is a different din. Boy b'nei rifkana mirav. The things that you mentioned were things that are outdoors, and people can see. But what about things that are a davar besuyam, but they're meant for use inside the house? Let's say a mitzvah. How about a bed in a bedroom, or how about a shulchan in a dining room? So in the mitah may say valeh shulchan v'ochel alav mao. I mean, is that considered to be, since people do walk in and out, so into the home they may indeed see it and talk about it, or do we say that maybe you mean dafka a torah and a chamor? Omar lo, he said to him, you know, it says tein lechacham v'yechkam od. Shlomo Melech says, you say something to Chacham, you let him use his brain. So essentially, since this whole halacha is a din in Ziluta, figure it out. Whatever child Ziluta, if people are going to come, so that's included in Ziluta. We think it's magic. Next you're going to say, maybe it has to be alive, because it'll be similar to the prophet. It's meant to be an indication of what we're referring to. Now, once our parent was Isaac in those who have stolen goods, and the halacha about whether you can be toveya those stolen goods from heirs, under what circumstances another person would be chayav if he ate those stolen goods, we move on to situations where there's always an assumption of stolen goods. And that would be, for instance, you walk through Mechet. Now we know when you walk through Mechet, it's really a function of what the guy had for breakfast. You know, in other words, if he's happy that day, so then the Mechet is only 10% of it. He's not happy that day. He suddenly remembers there's a 400% mechas on it. That's called geneva, as we'll see later on. That's not called legal mechas. And so under those circumstances, anything that's collected is just stolen goods. So therefore, if you want to get a change for a Coke machine, you can't walk over to a guy who's collecting taxes and use those stolen goods to benefit yourself and ask him, do you have cash for a dollar, you see? We're going to see in the Gemara what we're talking about over. Now, this is a very serious sugya, obviously, because it touches on what the legalities of tax collections are and so on. It's a very, very central sugya in practical halacha. So, in portin lo mitivat ha-mochsin v'lo mikis shel gaba im mochasim. The Halakha Mishnah, sorry. He's right. I mean, of all Mishnayos, not to call holy. So we do not take change from a cash register of a customs collector or from a little portable cash holder that a guy has or his wallet of a gabai. It's referring to a gabai of taxes. Ve'inot limayam tzedakah, we do not allow them to give charity out of these things because that's usually the way they soothe their conscience. Well, at least I give 10% to charity, you know, so that makes it kosher, right? So that's called being mechazek yidei ovrei avera. We don't do that. There's no problem over here of accepting money from that guy in his home. We don't assume he's using that money. Remember that these guys are very nervous about appearances as well. I mean, they can't be seen taking money for their own personal things. If they're walking down and buying things in the shuk, they're not going to be using that money. That's all they need. Somebody reports that to the government. So memela, you're allowed to accept what you know is not from the kis that is stolen goods in it. Tana, it says in the Braita that the idea of not changing a dollar doesn't mean you can't take change from them if you have to pay them. Let's say you owe them, let's say, $1. All you have is a $5 bill. So the guy wants to give you change from there. What do you say? No, it's okay. Keep the $5. That's called matzil niyadam. I mean, obviously, any money you can get away from them is only good. So that you're allowed to take. Ten lo dinar v'no ten lo etashar. Obviously, can give you change. Umochasim. Wait. I thought taxes are like a legal requirement. Why? That's not called stealing. Somebody who's collecting meches. I thought the big principle is that whatever the laws of the land are, apply to anybody living in that land. And obviously, that means you got to pay taxes. You have to pay custom. We're talking about over here, a moches she'en lo kitzba. We're talking about somebody who is collecting meches that does not have a clear-cut percentage or doesn't have clear-cut values that you're supposed to be taking. That is not considered to be dinin malchut adina. So the dinin malchut adina would only be where the malchut is applying laws equally across the land for the benefit of society. And in this case, you, as being a member of that society, have to keep those dinin. But the truth is there are many, many different shitas about the extent of dinin malchut adina and the applicability of dinin malchut adina. The Ram's big approach to dinin malchut adina is very practical. He says, since Lamaisa, the country has a right to control immigration, you're coming into their country. So by definition, it's not your country. So if you settle there, then by definition, you're accepting the dinim, because otherwise he could say to you, leave. So then you're the Gaza. You're only there on condition. That's how he understands it. With that approach, it wouldn't apply in Eretz Yisrael at all. Because nobody can tell you what I mean, leave your head. You can't tell me to leave Eretz Yisrael, which is the excuse that everyone uses for not paying taxes in this country. Although the Gemara, of course, uses another excuse. It's Ein Lo Kitzva. They collect whatever they feel like collecting. That's a little bit tongue-in-cheek. But anyway, continuing, the other issue over here is, assuming that there is a principle of Dinah Malchut HaDinah, I mean, is that a D'oraita? Is it a D'rabbanan? Most learn that it boils down at least to a T'nai Shebabona, which is D'oraita. If it's an acceptance, the way the Ran is learning, or even if it's a question of the social contract. The social contract is something that is a chiev on B'nai Noach as well, in terms of dinim, although that's a machlokas, what particular element of the social contract. Or is it keeping the dinim, legabe shel mitzvah B'nai Noach, or is it dinim in terms of masav amatan and maintaining honest markets, and so on and so forth. But in any event, most shitas hold dinim malchut adina is halacha d'oraita, which gives a tremendous chumrah. Now, the question is what type of laws are considered to be dinim malchut adina. How about laws that are manifestly unjust? Now, suppose the communists have decided that we need to redistribute the wealth, take away all the money from the ashirim, and give it to the anim. So, perhaps over there in Achinami, it's not shaykh to say dina. Dina has to be something which is for the long-term sustainability of society. And anything that violates the vision of what the Torah views as sustainable society is not considered to be dina at all. On the contrary, it's a violation of dina. There's also a machlokas about what type of laws are we talking about. We're talking about traffic laws? Are we talking about monetary laws? We're talking about laws that are for the benefit of society? Or laws that are for the benefit of the melech who has the right to throw you out of the country if you don't listen? But that's what the Ran's approach in those days. Furthermore, a melech that decides to do things that are only good for him, I mean, is that considered to be a law? So all of these issues are really very major machlokas in between the achronim. There's fascinating cases, I mean, that come up even recently. I mean, in New York, major shailas that the Ramesh had to pass in, that mostly revolved around the sort of a communist era chok in New York, which was what they have in Israel also as part of the communist era, as the chok haganat hadayar. Where over there, the condominiums, pre-condo condominiums, were called the co-ops. And that extended into the idea of giving rights to a renter. That you can't get him out of your house. You can't raise the rent. And he has a right to buy the apartment for almost nothing. Horrible kind of things. Which, of course, ultimately, this is very devastating for society because people don't want to build to rent under those circumstances. So it was a shaila whether that is considered to be a dinu malchus adina. Let's say a Jew owns a place and a Jew is keeping the dinu of the Torah. Wants to take advantage of the halacha dinu malchus adina. I'm allowed to continue renting. The guy says, I don't want to rent to you for that price. Forget it. Rent control, yeah. So, I mean, those were issues which sometimes were not truly for the benefit of society. They were communist or socialist visions, or they were things which were necessary during wartime and where people, you know, literally didn't have where to live, and there was an immense number of refugees coming in, but you can't apply those kind of dinim forever. But again, these are very, very serious issues which need pisuk halacha afilu b'zmanazeh. What the Gemara focuses on is specifically laws that have to do with taxation, which is clearly, I mean, for the benefit of both the melech and society, because whatever is going to be done is going to be done for all. So Shmuel says, if we're talking about a law that is not applied equally to all, and that even though he's appointed by the government, he certainly does not have a right to just take things as he's mood, and therefore that's not called dina b'chus adina. Duvei Rabbi Yana says what we're talking about over here is a mafioso, not a real moches from the government. He's a moches or made by love. It's protection money we're talking about. So obviously protection money you don't have to pay, mitzad ha-din. Now you can imagine now, this is machlokas of Rabbi Yana, who says we're talking about protection money, and Shmuel says we're talking about an illicit government acknowledged collection. Remember that the norms were until very recently that a person would buy the rights of the government for tax collection, pay all the taxes up front, and then supposedly all he was going to do was collect the taxes. He was going to be making 10%, 20% on the taxes by paying it up front. Lamaisa, there were a lot of mafia types that would buy that right and then run amok, which is mokesh en lo kitzba. This is very, very common. So there's another approach to the machlokas that it was referring to cheating customs or airline baggage costs by wearing multiple coats because they did not collect customs or excess baggage on things that you were wearing. Now the question is, what about if the extra coat was made out of kilayim? It sure as heck ain't very comfortable wearing that extra coat in 95 degree heat. So the shaila is that called levishat kilayim or not? The Mishnah discusses wearing kilayim for cheating the customs. But it doesn't mention the question of why would it be mutter to cheat customs in the first place. So it's there that we get involved in this machlokes. It's fascinating. So the Mishnah says, lo yilbash adam kilayim, afilu agabe asara begadim, lavriach bo et hameches. So you can't, it's amazing, nothing's changed. If you wear those coats with the 500 pockets that are weighed down with every, you know, video recorder, you see these guys coming in, they're probably about to keel over from the weight and the heat. But it's a Mishnah, you know, let the Lord of Yisrael be all right. Huh? And the halacha is that you can't wear kilayim under those circumstances, even though, l'chora, that's not called levisha. I mean, so they're not getting any hanof from being lovish, those begotten. And we say over there, matnitin de lo Rabbi Akiva. So clearly that Mishnah is not following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva because detanya asur lavriach et hameches, Rabbi Shimon omer mishum Rabbi Akiva, mutar lavriach et hameches. So over there, if Rabbi Akiva says it's mutar, he was referring to kilayim, so that's not a problem because since it's not derech levisha, because you're wearing something that you have no intention to wear, that's not called wearing shabbos. By the way, the same issue or related issue comes up in the question of whether you're allowed to try on a suit where there's a chashash savir of kilayim. Since your intent is not really to be lovesh, but rather to see whether the size is correct and so on. So there are those who are matir based on this same sugya. However, as many achronim point out, it's not really the same case. Because what you're trying to do when you try on a baggage is you're trying to see what it looks like when you wear it. Which means that ultimately, you need to wear it. If the intent is to wear it, so then that is lovesh kilayim. Over here, your intent is to be mavriach, not to wear it at all. But if you could, you know, shrink it down to nothing and not put it down, that would be even better. So in the mail, there are shittas lakan and lakan in that issue. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
yeah,
oh, wow, that's fascinating. Yeah. So
the Cassianus is
so he had him.
Reward, he had his whole family. It was like, you know, 20 suits.
Yeah. Army,
and he tested them.
And they were all kilayim.
They made him take them all back and remake them.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Do you remember? Do you remember him from Santa Clara? No, Dr. Alman. He used to be by the yeshiva. He used to teach in Stanford. You remember him? I was wondering why there was no comment in Barnea's neighborhood. Yeah, our kids were like very close to him. Okay. So, in any event, Rabbi Akiva there is talking about wearing kelayim to cheat the mechas. So he asked over there, for heaven's sakes, it's all very nice to talk about the kelayim, but why is it more to cheat the mechas? I mean, why aren't we discussing that issue? So, Bishlam Elini kelayim, okay, I understand what the machloket is. When Marisav Dovashenim et Kavin Mutar, Rabbi Akiva is saying, if you have no intention of wearing it, so fine, that's not kelayim. Umarisavar, Dovashenim et Kavin Asur, whereas the other man, the Omar, holds, that even though you're not mitkaven to do it, you're still usher to do it. Okay, but I mean, why are we talking about doing something illegal because it's mutter in terms of kelayim? I thought, what about lavriach b'vata mechas mishori? What's the heter to cheat customs? In this version, it was on that issue that Reb Chanina bar Kahana and Reb Yannai commented that Reb Chanina bar Kahana and Reb Shmuel were talking about a moche she'en lo kitzva, and the Reb Yannai amrei b'moche sa'omeid be'elav. And there's actually a third version, because there's also a third place where this comes up, which is the Mishnah in Dorim. Aha, nodrin laharagim o lacharamim la mochsim. You're allowed to take a neder, which is a complete lie, to murderers and to ganovim and mafiosos and to tax collectors. So you can swear that something is truma, that something belongs. That's if the, you know, he's a fruma Jew, this guy, you know, so he would never eat truma. So if you tell him it's truma, then he won't take it. Or if it's goyim, you could say it belongs to the government, you better not take it. Even though it's not, alfa b'shein asher truma, alfa b'shein asher malach. By the way, you'll recall that the Gemara over there says that you can't really make a shvua to the effect that it's something that it isn't. You can ask yourself beneder. You can say, if that thing isn't truma, then I take a neder on myself never to eat peros again, or something like that. So the neder, which was made in duress, is not a neder that's tofes. So over there it says that you're allowed to do that, even though it's not truma, it's not the Beit HaMechas. And the Gemara there asks the same question, Lamochsin. I thought Shmuel said, "Vamr Shmuel dinu malchuta dina," and in this version, this was the makar of the statement. Vamr Chaniyah ba'akan Vamr Shmuel b'molches enol kitzva, and the Rav Yannai Omer b'molches ha'omed me'elav. Rav Ashi says, "What we're talking about over here is a molches kna'ani." Now Rashi's girsa is a molches kna'ani anas. So he is a violent person, and apparently there was some censorship issue because it keeps showing up. This Anas shows up later in the sugya and was taken out either because they didn't want the Kanani to be associated with, or the original Gears of Yaakov, Anas, they didn't want it to be associated with them, their religion, or on the contrary, they wanted to show how unfair the Jews are, that even though he's not an Anas, you're allowed to cheat him, and so on and so forth. So Rav Ashi is talking about a Moches Kanani Anas, the Tanya, Yisrael, and a Kanani Anas. Here too, there were svarim in which the Anas did not appear. In this case, where they come to Din, so imata yachol zakeo b'dinei Yisrael. So there's the Yisrael is suing the Kanani Anas, or vice versa. So if there's a way that you can show that mitzad adin of the Torah, the Yisrael wins zakeo, and then you tell the goy, you say, well, you know, what can we do? Kach dinenu. That's the way it works out in Jewish law. If in civil law it works out that the Yisrael is zakai, but not in Jewish law, so you tell him, well, you know, that's the law of the land. What can we do? So it's b'dinei k'danim zakeu ve'emor lo kach dinchem. Listen, this is your law. What are we supposed to do? Violate your laws? Ve'im lav, ba'in lav ba'kifin. And if not, figure out some kind of crazy reason why the Jews shouldn't have to pay the k'nani anas. So is the sheet of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer, you're not allowed to do anything that is not completely legal, at least in one legal system, because it becomes a chilul Hashem. So in ba'in lav ba'kifin, mipnei kiddush Hashem. What? Rabbi Akiva says the only reason you're not allowed to cheat this Kanani is because of the problem of Kiddush Hashem. You're saying, Aleka Kiddush Hashem Ba'in? You could actually play games with it? But that's not true, because Rabbi Akiva himself is the one that assers stealing from an unjun. Megezo Kanani Mishori? What heter would there be to take from a Kanani? Vatani Omer Rabbi Shimon, Davar Zed Darash Rabbi Akiva. It was Rabbi Akiva himself who made this drasha when he was coming back from Zephirin. Barnea? What? Oh, no. This is not good. No neighborhood, nothing. In which he went for Ishtalmuyot when he came from Zephirim, and he said, Minayin legezel k'nani shu asur, how do we know al pi Torah that you're not allowed to take money from a k'nani, that b'isser? Talmud Lomar, amazing, a whole parsha in the Torah that discusses buying back an eved, Jewish eved, that is owned by the church, for that matter, or goy. And it says over there that you have to give the whole geula to yellow, prorating the price exactly the way you would treat a Jew. Even though you've got this horrific situation where a guy is in reduced circumstances, has been sold to the church, and now he's working at the cleaning up the church. You can't make up some reason that you could buy him back cheap or that you can claim that they don't have a right to hold him. We see this because it says, Acharei nimkar gu'ulati yelo. After a person is sold, he is to be redeemed, echad mi'achav yigalenu, which means, shelo yimashkenu v'yetze. You can't simply now say, you know, well, we'll pay you back at one time. It has to be b'gu'ula, it has to be with full payment. And yochol yiglomala. You might think that you could, Rashi understands yiglom means that the goy has a right to just, without any relevance to reality, create Hamas-like clauses. You want him? He'll take 1,000 prisoners and just do something which is a goylem b'alma. Others learn it's the opposite. Yochol yiglom alav, you think you can treat him like a goylem? And you say, you can just make up some reason that you have a right to take this Jew back. Talmud Lomar, therefore the Torah goes out of its way to say, V'chishavim koneyu. You have to work out the details. This means, Yedakdekim koneyu. In both directions. You can't let a guy demand more, but you can't pay him less. So how could Rabbi Akiva possibly be the one that should say that Gezel Knani would be mutter? On Rabbi Yosef Lokasha. That's talking about a Ger Toshav. And Rabbi Akiva was talking about here, a Knani, but there we're talking about a Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav is treated like a Jew. Homily Abaya, that's ridiculous. Rabbi Akiva's drasha was on the pasuk that discusses the din of a Knani, not a Ger Toshav, because the two of them are brought together in exactly that parsha he's darshaning. Gabe Adari Ktive, because this is the middle of that brayta that we've read many times about how Kosha Afka Shal Shviyas, right? So it says, guy starts dealing with selling Perot Shviyas, but the way the parshas are set up in the Torah, and in the end, he's going to have to sell his home, he's going to have to borrow money on Ribbis, he's going to have to sell his daughter, and he's going to end up selling himself, and it continues on. And don't think it means that he sells himself only to a Jew. Lo lecha. If he hasn't done tshuva yet, he's going to end up selling himself to a ger. Shenemar la ger. And it doesn't mean a ger tzedek only. It'll end up in the hands of a ger toshav. Shenemar la ger toshav. And when it continues to say, or even mishpachat ger. Oh. Mishpachat ger, that refers to already a non-Jew completely. Zeh oved kochavim. When it says la'eker mishpachat ger, eker is a lashon of la'akor, which is a reference to Avodah Zarah, that is zeh nimkal avodat kochavim atzmo. That's somebody who was actually sold into servitude to the church. So don't tell me that Rabbi Akiva was referring to those psukim. Well, you certainly cheat the church. You just can't. No, siree. Because Ger Toshav and a goy and the church are all put together one pasuk, and they're all part of the same drasha. So that can't be the answer, please. Elam Arava, you're right. Lo kasha. Kan begizelo, you can't take something away from him. That's true. But kan behafkaat halva'ato, what you're doing in a case of not letting him know that you owe him money, now that's different. There it's a function of chilul Hashem. So let's say a goy that you owe a lot of money to drops dead, not leaving any clear-cut notification to its children. The child comes to you and say, didn't our father lend you money? Oh, certainly he did, but I paid that back years ago. Now he didn't pay back a penny. But you have a chiyuv to let him know that you still owe him the money. There's no chilul Hashem that's involved. And in that case, it's like an aveda. We'll see the din of aveda is like achicha. So not to tell the meches that you have another coat is not the equivalent of doing something that actually takes away from the meches. You're just not paying, you're not letting him know that you owe the money. But does that make sense? Isn't the Eved Ivri, I mean, by definition, that's Havka'at Havaato. What we're dealing with over here, when we talk about the Eved Ivri, how does an Eved Ivri work? They don't really own the Jew. What's happened is that they paid out money up front. And now the Eved is supposed to be paying back that money through his work. So if you can figure out a way where it makes some sense, it's not a chilul Hashem, that's what he's saying. You'd be able to take that according to your logic. But the whole basis of Rabbi Akiva's drasha is referring to an Eved Ivri, which is Havka'at Halva'ah. And you're saying, well, but Rabbi Akiva was referring to Havka'at Halva'ah for God's sake, then what was he referring to? That's what the pasuk was talking about. No, says the Gemara, that's Abaya's opinion. But Abrava, who said the distinction between Gzela and Havka'ah, which, by the way, has very, very important connotations in terms of the tax authorities. In other words, you cannot do something to take money that isn't yours. That doesn't mean you have to tell them about all the money that you made in order to have to pay the taxes, according to this, because that's Havka'ah. So you're just not letting them know that you owe them money. According to this, then we wouldn't say the case where someone had bought the rights to those taxes, and now he is a Kanani, so and there's no din over there of Gezel Akum Aser, because it would be Hafka'a. In any event, says the Gemara, that's your opinion, but Rav Ashita is, you remember this? Diomar Rav, have an Ivri Gufo Kanui. Rav Ashita is that it isn't basically a loan, but rather during those 6 years, it's as if he actually owns the Eved, in which case to take the Eved away would be straight out Gezela, not simply figuring out a way that you're not going to pay him back for a loan. Omer Rav Bibi Bar Gilel Amar Rav Shimon Chasida, Gezel Kanani is Osir, but Avedato Mutarat. You do not have to return something that was found, Gizelo Asur, the Omar Rav. You can eat all of the people up that the Lord your God has given you, and that is in the context of war. That's what we're talking about, and so on. That's a reference to wartime. War is indeed mafkiyad urshus adiyavim. You can take it. But you see clearly from that pasuk, I mean, if you're always allowed to just walk and shoplift, I mean, so what is it? So clearly it's only bizman in that time, shein misurim biyadecha, velo bizman shein na misurim biyadecha. So there the Torah is telling you that you cannot treat them as any different when it comes to their money, unless they're misurim biyadecha. But aveda, the Torah says, is actually muter. Note that the Torah stresses, and aveda belongs to avedat achicha, over there umitzata, lo tuchal leitale. But from a goy, we don't say lo tuchal leitale, which means leachicha, tamachzir leknani. But wait a minute. I mean, maybe that's only referring to you don't need to go and find it to return it, but not if you picked it up. I mean, that's not what it's referring to. So, ema hanim leich lo ati liyadeh. Maybe that just means that you don't have to go looking and returning, but I mean, once you pick up a thing that you know belongs to another guy, you'd have to return it to him. The meaning of once it's already mitza'ata, the mashma'ut is that it was already atai liyadeh mashma. It did come into your hand, and it's still saying la'achicha. Tanya Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair Omer, b'makom sheyesh chilul Hashem, afilo avedato asur. If there's an involvement over here that people will say that Jews don't return an aveda, so then absolutely you can't keep the aveda. Omar Shmuel, ta'uto muteret. A goy who makes a mistake, so let's say in the shop he charges you too little or whatever, that type of thing is muter because that can't be a chilul Hashem. This is ta'ut. Ki od Shmuel, Zovan Makuti Lekana de Dahava, Bimarda Parzala. Shmuel was going around in an antique shop, and you know, you always get these incredible bargains in antique shops. It's sort of like stealing if you know that the thing is worth a lot of money. And so he was purchasing from Makuti something that was made out of gold. And the guy thought that it was made out of a base metal. He thought it was copper or something. And he bought it for 4 zuz. It was worth a mint. And not only that, but he didn't even pay the 4 zuz. He only paid 3. He pretended to make a mistake in how much he gave him. Or others learned just the opposite. He gave him an extra zuz. Either because he wanted to show that he's an idiot and just not careful, you know. Or because he wanted the guy to be happy that, you know, well, you see, you know, he's a generous guy. It's not as if he's trying to get a bargain, you know. Trying to drew you down. Look at that. He gave you an extra zuz, you know. Right, boy, these Gemaras are pretty dangerous to get into the hands of Hamas. Rav Kahana Zavan Mekuti, Mea Ve'esrim Chavita V'mea. Rav Kahana took delivery of 120 barrels, and he only paid for 100. And not only that, Ivel Eichad Zuz, again, same clothes, he gave him a little bit more. Omar Le, and he said to him, look, I don't have time to sit here counting these barrels. I mean, Chazid, Yalach, Kasabich, I mean, whatever you're delivering, I'm taking your word for it. Ravina Zavan Dikla, Hu Vekuti, Litzalcha. Ravina buys a dekel with a partner who's a kuti for cutting up purposes for firewood. Omele Lashame, so he tells his servant, he says, get out there fast, will you? And kodem va'aite mi ikaro, cut the tree and bring me from the lower parts, which are thicker, because a kuti knows how to count, but that's about it, you know? So kuti minyana yadalai. Okay, I took 5 pieces, you took 5 pieces. That's great. Well, the fact that my pieces weigh double your pieces, you know. It's a sort of retarded childhood development. Looks big. Havikazo b'urcha. Rav Ashi was going along the road, and he sees shipsha de gufta b'pardisa v'tali b'kedufe d'inve. So he sees now that there are vines growing in an orchard, and there are clusters that are hanging out over the road. So if they're hanging out over the road, already that means that the owner isn't now watching them. and it's on the Rosh Hashanah. So he told the valet, Omer Lelashameh, Zil Chazi, go find out, Idikuti Ninu, if the orchard is owned by a Kuti, then bring me some of those grapes, Aiteh. But if it's Idi Yisrael Ninu Lo Aiteh, don't bring it to me if it belongs to a Jew. Little did he know that the Kuti was sitting on the other side of the fence, listening to this little conversation. So the Kuti says, Ahu Kuti, actually, Shoma Ahu Kuti, have a Yati Bupardisa. So the Kuti is sitting there and overhears the conversation. So he says, aha, so the Kuti Shari. In other words, so we're not human. Omale, no. So it's exactly the opposite. You see, a Kuti is going to take money. So therefore, I only take from a Kuti because I don't like gifts. Jew would never take money because they're very generous. Kutim are not generous. So I figured if it belongs to Kuti, I'll be able to pay it. I wouldn't want to take it without paying, you see. But if it belongs to a Jew, I figure he's going to see a rabbi and say, no, it's not really mine. It's hanging over the street. But I don't want to take it if I'm not going to be able to pay for it. Speaking of fast responses. Omar Shmuel dinu malchut adina. Omar Rava teida. Look, it's clear that everybody accepts this. It's a principle of law. Because these guys go around, katlai dikli, v'gashrei gishrei, they're in alayim. I mean, they act in what would otherwise be a lawless fashion. They cut down trees, murdering trees, build bridges with the trees that they murder. Now, you know perfectly well that those trees belong to Joe. And there you are driving over the bridge. I mean, how could you possibly drive over a bridge that's built of stolen goods? Why wouldn't that be mechazik de ovri avera? Omalei abaye. I mean, maybe that's because of you. No mishum di aish luminai omaraya. Omalei. Says Rava, what? Ilo dinu malchut adina. So how would that help? Ech mi aish. Not be doing what the Melech was really saying. I mean, obviously the law would require them to take trees for the whole area, not to take for the closest where it's convenient and just take those trees. So the Malkam is Yilvakatumi Kobagi. The Melech says the entire sector has to support the building of the bridges for that sector, and therefore they ought to be cutting, let's say, culling 1% of the trees in the area. Instead, what they go next to the area where they're going to build. They're too lazy. And they'll take all the trees from somebody's rishos. So then the whole thing doesn't make sense because it isn't even dinu malchut in this case. No, he said, that's not true. The truth is that a shlucha de malka kamalka, velotar, in the same way that the melech himself would not have to be toreah to take from somebody else. What he can do is he can say, look, you guys settle the issue between yourselves. This is being done for the benefit of this sector, this county. And you've got to settle up between... We certainly have no intention of playing games or running around that we're the ones that have to figure out what to do. You know who the householders are. You know how much they can afford. You know how much they're going to benefit. The locals should make up for it. We're going to take the trees from here and let him take money from the rest of the town hall government, right? Where everybody gets together and decides who's going to pay. If that's the way that they do it, and nobody cared, and they let this one guy be the guy who supplies the wood for the whole project, and nobody gives him. It's inu afsid anafshayu de iboilu de inkut mikule bage. It's their own fault. They didn't have a town meeting. They never ended up working things out between themselves, and they should have taken from everybody in the whole area. And then Mishkal Dami, they would have been able to pay this guy back. But when you act in a way that does not take responsibility for local government, you can't expect the federal government to be doing everything for you. So that's not considered to be just plain old stealing. Omar Rava, man de mishtakach bebeidari pora man de malka. The rule is, legally, that somebody who is found on a threshing floor, even though he's got lots of shutafim, the last guy out is the guy who pays the taxes when the assessors come. And they say, okay, looks like you were able to process X amount of grain, 20%, pay up. Well, this shutaf only has 20%, so he has to give all of his things, and he has to go and work it out with the shutafim, because that's the law. And that means that if he was not going to collect from them, it's the same afsid anafshayu. But this is only where he is a shutaf. I don't mean a shutfa. Aval arisa, arisute udekamafik. If he's only a sharecropper, it is not his responsibility. He only has to pay the portion of his sharecropping. And there he's supposed to actually tell the government, I'm not a shutaf, I'm not responsible, I'm just a lowly worker over here in a feudal field. Fiomar Rava. Another thing that Rava said is that a bar mata mi'avet. Since, generally speaking, the way that the government collects taxes is sector by sector. If somebody has not paid their taxes, it's everybody's loss, because the city is going to end up being responsible. Therefore, one member of a sector can now go ahead and cause a lien to be put on the money of somebody else and pay up the taxes with it, because otherwise it's coming out of his pocket. Vahane bile, this, what type of taxes are we talking about? We're talking about the varla arla and the karga. This is a tax that's put on agricultural property, or it's a head tax. The karga was the head tax that they had. And that type of thing is collected sector by sector by the year, shata. In other words, if the government expected to be paid for X number of population, anybody doesn't pay, they're still going to collect from the city. And now that guy ends up basically having his value placed proportionately on everybody else. But that's only year by year. Avashata de chalif, hovi ifayis malka chalif. Look, whatever was done the year before, the tax collector has already made his peace with the government. That's clear. Because they would never have let him get away with it. So the local tax collector has worked it out. Now, you can no longer go. You should have taken care of it at the time. Because at this point, it's no longer coming out state of the Malchusa. And therefore, if it's over for this year, it's over. All right, we'll let you...